Chapter 15. Slightly, and Razumov got up with an effort. There was nothing now to stay for in that room. Haldin had been hanged at 4 o'clock. There could be no doubt of that. He had, it seemed, entered upon his future existence, long boots, astrakhan fur cap and all, down to the very leather strap round his waist. A flickering, vanishing sort of existence. It was not his soul, it was his mere phantom he had left behind on this earth, thought Razumov, smiling caustically to himself, while he crossed the room, utterly forgetful of where he was, and of Counselor Mikulin's existence. The official could have set a lot of bells ringing all over the building without leaving his chair. He let Razumov go quite up to the door before he spoke. "Come, Kirillo Sidorovich, what are you doing?" Razumov turned his head and looked at him in silence. He was not in the least disconcerted. Counselor Mikulin's arms were stretched out on the table before him, and his body leaned forward a little with an effort of his dim gaze. "Was I actually going to clear out like this?" Razumov wondered at himself with an impassive countenance. And he was aware of this impassiveness concealing a lucid astonishment. "Evidently I was going out, if he had not spoken," he thought. "What would he have done then? I must end this affair one way or another. I must make him show his hand." For a moment longer he reflected behind the mask as it were, then let go the door handle, and came back to the middle of the room. "I'll tell you what you think," he said explosively, but not raising his voice. "You think that you are dealing with a secret accomplice of that unhappy man. No, I do not know that he was unhappy. He did not tell me. He was a wretch from my point of view, because to keep alive a false idea is a greater crime than to kill a man. I suppose you will not deny that? I hated him. Visionaries work everlasting evil on Earth. Their utopias inspire in the mass of mediocre minds a disgust of reality, and a contempt for the secular logic of human development." Razumov shrugged his shoulders and stared. What a tirade, he thought. The silence and immobility of Counselor Mikulin impressed him. The bearded bureaucrat sat at his post, mysteriously self-possessed like an idol with dim, unreadable eyes. Razumov's voice changed involuntarily. "If you were to ask me, where is the necessity of my hate for such as Haldin, I would answer you there is nothing sentimental in it. I did not hate him, because he had committed the crime of murder. Abhorrence is not hate. I hated him simply because I am sane. It is in that character that he outraged me. His death." Razumov felt his voice growing thick in his throat. The dimness of Counselor Mikulin's eye seemed to spread all over his face, and made it indistinct to Razumov's sight. He tried to disregard these phenomena. "Indeed," he pursued, pronouncing each word carefully, "what is his death to me? If he were lying here on the floor I could walk over his breast. The fellow is a mere phantom. Razumov's voice died out very much against his will. Mikulin behind the table did not allow himself the slightest movement. The silence lasted for some little time before Razumov could go on again. "He went about talking of me. Those intellectual fellows sit in each other's rooms and get drunk on foreign ideas in the same way young guards officers treat each other with foreign wines. Merest debauchery. Upon my word," Razumov, enraged by a sudden recollection of Zamyanich, lowered his voice forcibly, "upon my word, we Russians are a drunken lot. Intoxication of some sort we must have. To get ourselves wild with sorrow or maudlin with resignation. To lie inert like a log, or set fire to the house. What is a sober man to do, I should like to know? To cut oneself entirely from one's kind is impossible. To live in a desert one must be a saint. But if a drunken man runs out of the grog shop, falls on your neck, and kisses you on both cheeks, because something about your appearance has taken his fancy, what then, kindly tell me? You may break, perhaps, a cudgel on his back, and yet not succeed in beating him off." Counselor Mikulin raised his hand, and passed it down his face deliberately. "That's Dot dot of course, he said in an undertone. The quiet gravity of that gesture made Razumov pause. It was so unexpected too. What did it mean? It had an alarming aloofness. Razumov remembered his intention of making him show his hand. I have said all this to Prince K, he began with assumed indifference, but lost it on seeing Counselor Mikulin's slow nod of assent. You know it? You've heard. Dot dot then why should I be called here to be told of Alden's execution? Did you want to confront me with his silence now that the man is dead? What is his silence to me? This is incomprehensible. You want in some way to shake my moral balance? No. Not that, murmured Counselor Mikulin, just audibly. His service you have rendered is appreciated. Dot dot, is it? Apostrophe interrupted Razumov ironically. Dot 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 and your position too. Counselor Mikulin did not raise his voice. But only think. You fall into Prince K's study, as if from the sky with your startling information. Dot 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 you are studying yet, Mr. Razumov, but we are serving already, don't forget that. Dot 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 and naturally some curiosity was bound to. Dot dot, Counselor Mikulin looked down his beard. Razumov's lips trembled. An occurrence of that sort marks a man, the homely murmur went on. Admit I was curious to see you. General T thought it would be useful to. Dot 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 don't think I am incapable of understanding your sentiments. When I was young like you I studied. Dot dot, yes you wished to see me, said Razumov in a tone of profound distaste. Actually you have the right, I mean the power. It all amounts to the same thing. But it is perfectly useless, if you were to look at me, and listen to me for a year. I begin to think there is something about me which people don't seem able to make out. It's unfortunate. I imagine, however, that Prince K understands. He seemed to. Counselor Mikulin moved slightly and spoke. Prince K is aware of everything that is being done, and I don't mind informing you that he approved my intention of becoming personally acquainted with you. Razumov concealed an immense disappointment under the accents of railing surprise. So he is curious to. Dot dot dot. Well, after all, Prince K knows me very little. It is really very unfortunate for me, but it is not exactly my fault. Counselor Mikulin raised a hasty deprecatory hand, and inclined his head slightly over his shoulder. Now, Mr. Razumov, is it necessary to take it in that way? Everybody I am sure can. Dot, he glanced rapidly down his beard, and when he looked up again there was for a moment an interested expression in his misty gaze. Razumov discouraged it with a cold, repellent smile. No. That's of no importance. To be sure, except that in respect of all this curiosity being aroused by a very simple matter. Dot dot dot, what is to be done with it? It is unappeasable. I mean to say there is nothing to appease it with. I happen to have been born a Russian with patriotic instincts, whether inherited or not I am not in a position to say. Razumov spoke consciously with elaborate steadiness. Yes. Patriotic instincts developed by a faculty of independent thinking, of detached thinking. In that respect I am more free than any social democratic revolution could make me. It is more than probable that I don't think exactly as you are thinking. Indeed, how could it be? You would think most likely at this moment that I am elaborately lying to cover up the track of my repentance. Razumov stopped. His heart had grown too big for his breast. Counselor Mikulin did not flinch. Why so? He said simply. Assisted personally at the search of your rooms. I looked through all the papers myself. I have been greatly impressed by a sort of political confession of faith. A very remarkable document. Now may I ask for what purpose? Dot, to deceive the police naturally, said Razumov savagely. Dot dot dot, that is all this mockery? Of course you can send me straight from this room to Siberia. That would be intelligible. To what is intelligible I can submit. But I protest against this comedy of persecution. The whole affair is becoming too comical altogether for my taste. a comedy of errors, phantoms, and suspicions. It's positively indecent. Dot, Counselor Mikulin turned an attentive ear. Did you say phantoms? He murmured. I could walk over dozens of them. Razumov, with an impatient wave of his hand, went on headlong, but, really, I must claim the right to be done once for all with that man. And in order to accomplish this, I shall take the liberty. Razumov on his side of the table bowed slightly to the seated bureaucrat. To retire simply to retire, he finished with great resolution. He walked to the door, thinking, now he must show his hand. He must ring, and have me arrested, before I am out of the building, or he must let me go. And either way. An unhurried voice said, Kirillo Sidorovich. Razumov at the door turned his head. To retire, he repeated. Where to? Asked Counselor Mikulin softly. Part second. In the conduct of an invented story there are, no doubt, certain proprieties to be observed for the sake of clearness and effect. A man of imagination, however inexperienced in the art of narrative, has his instinct to guide him in the choice of his words, and in the development of the action. A grain of talent excuses many mistakes. But this is not a work of imagination. I have no talent. My excuse for this undertaking lies not in its art, but in its artlessness. Aware of my limitations and strong in the sincerity of my purpose, I would not try, were I able, to invent anything. I push my scruples so far that I would not even invent a transition. Dropping then Mr. Razumov's record at the point where Counselor Mikulin's question hereto comes in with the force of an insoluble problem, I shall simply say that I made the acquaintance of these ladies about 6 months before that time. By these ladies I mean, of course, the mother and the sister of the unfortunate Alden. By what arguments he had induced his mother to sell their little property and go abroad for an indefinite time, I cannot tell precisely. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.